All right, welcome to another edition of 5 Minutes With. And this week, I'm excited because we're going to take you inside the With Agency with my partner and co-founder, the amazing Blair Brady.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Blair. It's like we're socially distanced. We're not used to this because we've been doing the agency thing since we started 8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
We always joke. We probably know each other better than our own spouses. How do you see partnership? If you had to sum it up or help other people understand how you approach it.
I think how I approach partnership, Jamie, and the way that we approach partnership together is quite the anomaly. I don't know many other partners as close as us, as equal as us, and as honest as we are. I mean, you mentioned we're now socially distancing after having, you know, 8 years of a lot of closeness. It was up until about 2 years ago was the first time we actually had a wall splitting our desks. I mean, we were quite literally together.
It's a thin wall, though. It's a thin wall. We can hear everything anyway. There's no privacy.
I really thought we were going to have to carve a little talk tunnel through the wall when we first moved into our new offices. But I think for us, what has worked for so many years, and I use this in my own life as well with everyone, is truth and honesty. I mean, as soon as you start holding things back, it's just never good. So I think you probably know this as more than anyone, that as soon as I have something on my mind, as soon as I sense conflict or tension, it is out of my mouth and I immediately want to address it.
Yeah, no, I think that's always been, that's been it. And I mean, I think that mutual understanding, I think we've always had decisions that we've always said are our super decisions. And I think that was great advice from early on around we won't do something unless we're both behind it. And there's times where we may disagree and we'll kind of come back to it. I think that's been great. So, you know, we've had to navigate through those years, navigating growth and the startup mentality, and then having to put in principles, processes, you know, now facing this situation that popped up, none of us saw, right? And what are your two learnings? What are two takeaways for you as you help navigate a virtual office environment and then also serving clients that we have?
On the client side, I'll address that first. The learning there, it became apparent to me early on that what we had planned for the year with our clients was no longer going to happen the way that we imagined it. So the quickest we could pivot for them was going to benefit their business the best. And to do that pivot, you know, we really had to bear down on the core of their brand, their brand's purpose and their brand's promise, and then put the lens of the current state of affairs of our world on that purpose and promise. And that became our new creative brief as an agency for our clients. So quickly pivoting and re-strategizing in a way that we could execute on for them, because our three biggest clients are essential businesses and their work keeps going during this time. And as their agency partner, we have to be there for them.
Yeah, I found that we were better, you know, when it was like that moment, we just sort of said like, we got to go love the one we're with. We got to get on those, you know, because the pipeline sort of falls off as everybody in the new, and it became, what can we do? And I think that was a good learning for us. We could do this more, right? Mm-hmm. Those were a learning that we all sort of took away. And we saw some really interesting opportunities where being present with new ideas in a time when other people were busy was part of that value add that we deliver. And it was like, oh, okay, that's what they're doing for me. They just brought six new ideas that were on strategy, because we were already well aware of that strategy.
Yeah. And then on the internal side, I think the one thing that I have learned is the value of closeness, and what that means now is much different. We have a very close-knit office. We don't have a lot of walls. We have an open environment. Everyone is free to communicate face-to-face all day long. That is no longer the case. So in the first few days, I personally struggled a lot. I felt very disconnected from the team. And immediately we started standing up video meetings every morning, and seeing everyone's faces really drives that connection, in a way that I think I took advantage of before. I didn't realize that how valuable that was.
Yeah.
And one other tactic that's helped, as I've started doing these Sunday night videos, where, and again, this was the very first week I was feeling very disconnected. And I didn't really have a plan for how I was going to fix that, but I knew I needed to talk to the team, and I really wanted to do that before the start of a new week. So I sat down in front of the computer and just recorded what was on my mind and sent it out to everyone. I've been doing that every Sunday since. And it seems to be casting some good energy for each week as we go ahead as a team.
You know, that we're distant and we're starting, you had an interesting meeting, and we were talking about it yesterday because we were starting to put our rebuilding plan, or, you know, our reemergence plan for the office, like how do we go about it? And we're a little different, and maybe not different, but we're smaller. So it's not like there's a huge office tower that we're worried about. But what were you hearing? I thought it was really enlightening about how these other companies are going about it.
Yeah. You know, one of the greatest things about being on the board of advisors at the Metro Atlanta Chamber is that they are so great about connecting businesses. And since this all has happened, they have started connecting us almost immediately. And so they put us all on a call, a small group of us, and they've been doing several of these calls with businesses in the metro area to just openly talk about what we're doing. And there were businesses similar in size to us, larger, with a lot of different populations. But one thing that I took away that we're implementing is most of them are doing employee surveys. To really, before they put a plan out, before they say, this is what we're going to do, everybody, this is when we're going to be back together, here are our plans, they went to their employees first, which I think really is a smart approach because there's a lot of facts and figures out there. There's a lot of science involved in this, but there's also a lot of unknowns, and that has different effects on people, different effects on employees. There's a different comfort level that each individual has. And I think that as a company in an office population, we have to be respectful of even the most low level of comfort person in our office as we start to re-enter.
Were there any takeaways from anyone that you were like, whoa, that was interesting? Just the perspective of what it was like before. I think there's this big, we talked about it, this big cultural shift.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, there were some really interesting perspectives that I heard from people who are in high rises. And so they're now thinking about, they're only walking clockwise in their offices. They're only, two people per elevator, moving to disposable, kitchen utensils and things like that. And that's just, those are things that are a little bit different for our population because we aren't in such a large, populated office complex, and we have our own entrance and exit. But there are so many different things to navigate. One of the people on the call said, you know, before all this happened, our philosophy on office attendance was you had to have a good reason not to be in the office. And today, he said, we are now requiring you to have a good reason to be in the office.
See, that is, so let's go there, because there's the cultural, like, let's say I was an executive, and you know, I had this bias that you got to be in the office to be, like, you got to make your way to be in the office. And now that same executive is having to prove that they can run business virtually, which means we have had this forced adoption of something that was like a legacy bias. Like, there were people that probably knew this. We all knew it. It's like, hey, I telecommute, be easier. I'm from home. I'm more relaxed. I'm more productive. I get up in the morning. I can set my schedule. And now this sort of efficiency that sort of goes into it, but now has been changed. And I wonder, when you look at that, mm-hmm. the huge impact of female empowerment, female leadership in the workspace. I have this hunch, hypothesis maybe, that becomes even totally pushed even more because of this change. It used to be like, oh, she's a female, she has a family, so
mm-hmm.
You know. What are your thoughts?
You know, in the early times, the first few days of this, I was noticing, you know, this coronavirus situation and how it has affected specifically corporate environments. This has been the great leveler. This has just completely leveled the playing field for everyone, because now junior employees and executives and men and women are all being put in the same environment. Everyone is working from home. Everyone is understanding the challenges, but also the opportunities that can come from working at home. Whereas before, you know, you said it was a little bit stigmatized, where women were seen as, well, if she wants to work from home and have a more of a family balance, then I think that we can put her on a different track. You know, and there's a very interesting Harvard Business Review article that addressed this as well. But I think going through this, like you said, Jamie, executives are now having to lead remotely. And to do that, they have to buy in that is an actual viable way to work.
That's the only way. They're going back. Hey, look at me. I totally transformed. Look at me. I have made us sure that we all got by, which all of a sudden is like, I told you.
Yeah. And I find this has sort of always been my thought, and I think it is proving out here, that if you are good at managing your time and you are an effective person, that will be true whether you are at home or you are in the office. And if you are not good at managing your time and being an efficient worker, that will be true whether you are in the office or you are at home.
Where are you soul searching and finding some solace in your, you know, I mean, you're a mother of three little ones.
Oh my gosh.
You know, there's got to, besides, you know, a little baby Einstein, Sesame Street, maybe some, you know,
oh my gosh,
Doc McStuffins or something like that. I don't know. There's no telling what's on the TV these days, because it's, but what are you listening to, or you've found helping you get through it?
You know, there have been a few things. Yes, my house is kind of like the Thunderdome. Right before we started recording this, I was hiding.
Well, that's a drinking song. Well, that's Thunderstruck.
Yeah, yes, exactly. No, right before we started recording this, I found myself, I knew I needed to hide so that nobody would find me and interrupt us. But, you know, it is very chaotic. And Art, my husband, he is also, he has a full career of his own. So we are having to educate a kindergartner, a pre-K-er, and then we also have an infant, and then also two very full jobs. So it's been crazy. But, you know, I'm very fortunate for and grateful for what we do have and the resources that we do have. Because I know so many people are struggling. But I have found a lot of comfort in a few areas. I have been journaling, which I think helps. Nothing, I don't do it every single day, but I'm trying to write down when I am having any type of strong frustration or emotion, or every now and then a very rare moment of calmness or lightness. I try to capture that. And then also things that I'm observing, because this is a whole new, you know, we've never been like this. And I still, it is insane to me that this is the eighth week that we're in this. The other thing I've done is, I've started, I've picked the guitar back up again, which is kind of fun. That gives me like a few minutes of
outlet. If you had to play it right now, what would you play?
If I had to play it right now, let's see. I recently learned the riff to Long Train Coming the other day. So that was fun.
I love that. Well, thanks for the 8 years and friendship, and it's been a great ride. I look forward to more, and thanks for hanging out with me. And you know, you're my biggest critic, I will say, on the 5 minute title, and this is nowhere near it.
So we're
gonna have to thank the amazing Caleb Holland to shorten this up and make it into a condensed version.
Yes, that would be good. But I will say, I will give you I'll take 30 more seconds, and I'm sorry, I'm totally breaching the time limit. But I will say that, Jamie, what we have built and the people that we have it with, I have never been more proud in our history of how people have stood up, how hard they have worked, how committed they are, and they're staying the path, and they have showed up for our clients. They've showed up for each other. I mean, I have never been more proud, even in a time of crisis. And I am so excited about what lies ahead for us.
Yes, yeah, well. I agree. I second that wholeheartedly. Thanks so much, Blair.
Thanks, Jim.
That's another edition of 5 Minutes With. Thanks to Blair Brady for joining me. And this is a production of WIST Studios. And a special thanks to the amazing Caleb Holland for all of his work in helping pull this together. Until next week, thanks for being with me.